the ministry of strengthening and encouragement is so prevalent within Acts, and it's often underappreciated. I mean, the church was being built and people were being evangelized and disciples being made, but then there was this constant going back and strengthening and encouraging time and time again. Paul doubles back to the churches to strengthen them, comfort them, and encourage them. And why would he do that? Because life is hard.
Good day, listeners, and welcome to Live in the Light. Thank you so much for making Live in the Light a part of your day. Hey, we are back into the book of Acts today, and today's episode takes us further along with Paul as he travels on the early missionary journeys, eventually bringing the gospel into the continent of Asia. Now, Pastor Robbie is our teacher for this program, and he's in studio with me now. And Robbie, we are looking at some major encouragement today, aren't we?
Man, encouragement. Man, do we need it, Craig? Wow, we need encouragement every day, and I love encouragement. We're going to learn today again the etymology of encouragement is to make strong or to hearten. And Craig, I've always been amazed at how much of the ministry of Paul, it was obviously evangelism and planting churches, but a major, major element of his ministry was to encourage the church and to strengthen the church as well. I mean, he doubled back time and time again to just see the people would make it and persevere and be encouraged in the faith. I mean, it is a grand theme in Acts. And listen, right now today, all those listening, those who are loved here at Living the Light, the Holy Spirit is doubling back to encourage you today yet again. Isn't that so encouraging to understand the role of the Holy Spirit as He seeks to encourage His people? Wow, I need that today. So do you. And this is why He loves us so. That we would be strengthened, that we would not give up, that we would understand again the mission to what He's called us to. And that's what God's Word, yet again, is going to serve in its purpose for your heart and mine today. So may that be so. The sermon title today, The Church Encouraged, and we pray indeed may the church be encouraged today through this segment. Amen.
Awesome. So you're ready for encouragement. I'm ready for encouragement. Let's dive in without any further delay and join up with Pastor Robbie once again in Acts chapter 15.
Hello, church family. Welcome to Hope Church Online. We are giving hope because we are filled with living hope. Welcome to Hopeville. Praise the Lord. The word encourage is from the old French encourager. It means to make strong. It means to hearten. It's the word that is derived from the prefix N-E-N-N, which means to make or to put in. And then combined with the word courage, you have encourage. So therefore, I love this, to encourage is to put courage into someone. Isn't that so great? Now we got to encourage each other a lot. We are placing courage within someone. It's to inspire someone in spirit, or here's a good word, hope. It's to place hope within someone as well. That's a great name for a church too, isn't it? And this is exactly what we're seeking to do today as we turn our pages to Acts chapter 16 and beyond. This is our prayer to the Lord that His church may be encouraged. We want to see God's people made strong in spirit and in hope. Yes, Lord, do that. What a beautiful picture that is to place in courage within one another. God, would you be doing that right now? In these days we find ourselves in, I am constantly finding myself praying for supernatural leading to encourage people. Join me in this prayer. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would be leading me on a daily basis to encourage people spiritually, to encourage people practically, even to encourage people financially. God, would you be leading me and my family? And I just, again, I just exhort you, I implore you, seek to be a source of encouragement, to place courage into at least one person a day. What a blessing that will be as the whole church decides to do that. And so as we think about this word encourage, I want to go back to our series outline where we began many months ago, and who would have guessed that we would have been here? And by the way, TV, I've missed you. This is good. This is good to have the TV. Thanks for our team for allowing this to happen. I love you for that. So here is our Acts series outline going way back to September. Remember that time? It seems like a long time ago now. But we started in the church begins, Acts 1 and 2. Then the church opposed, Acts 3. That was November and December. Then we had the church supernatural, January, February. Then we just concluded the church on mission. That was March, again, bleeding into April a little bit. And now this was our outline. Now, we didn't go back and change this. Okay, this wasn't like, hey, times are changed. Let's go. Let's have a series on encouragement. No, this was there, again, 6-7 months ago. The church encouraged our plan from the beginning. The next 3 months, that is where we're going to be in the book of Acts. And we're planning on being, isn't God awesome? I mean, if there's a time to have a whole series on encouragement, it's now. And so I'm so thankful for that. And I pray you're so thankful for that as well. All in favor of encouragement right now? All in favor? Hey, don't leave me hanging in here. Oh, wait, I'm the only person in here. Hey, at home, don't leave me hanging up here. Let's encourage one another. Amen. We're all in favor of some encouragement. Well, here it comes. Encouragement brought to you by the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Now, as we turn to Acts 15, 16 today, it's important to know that the ministry of strengthening and encouragement is so prevalent within Acts, and it's often underappreciated. I mean, the church was being built and people were being evangelized and disciples were being made, but then there was this constant going back and strengthening and encouraging time and time again. Paul doubles back to the churches to strengthen them, comfort them, and encourage them. And why would he do that? Why would he need to strengthen and encourage the church over and over again? Well, here's why, because life is hard, because the enemy is real, because the temptation to give up is powerful. And so therefore, the ministry of encouragement is incredibly vital to the Holy Spirit among his people. So all that to say, coming to a home near you right now, the ministry of encouragement in Jesus' name. Let me just take a moment just to pray for us right now. Father, would you supernaturally encourage your church, please, oh God, as you have all the way along in Acts and right now. We need the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. We need the comfort and the strength and the grace of our God. Do that right now in every home, every person watching, every person represented, oh God, I pray you would be encouraging now in this message and in the weeks to come through this segment, this time by your providence and sovereignty in our church. Again, we pray in Jesus' name. If you agree, please say amen, amen. All right, Bible's open to Acts chapter 15 is where we're going to start. And encouragement today starts in quite an odd place. It actually starts with a serious disagreement. That's right, a serious disagreement. But I found myself strangely encouraged even by this week. So let's get to point number one. It is this: as we are encouraged today, we receive instruction within disagreement. Instruction within disagreement. Acts chapter 15, verse 36 says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord to see how they are.'" Why? Because he wanted to encourage and strengthen them. He cared for them so much. "Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take them, one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." By the way, you got to get a Bible open. It's so helpful for you if you will have Bible open right now and following along. A lot of verses today. So again, you can pause if you need to. Let's get that done. That'll be so helpful. Again, verse 39.
And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay, so Paul and Barnabas are about to start their second missionary journey. And their plan, you can read it right there in verse 36 of chapter 15, their plan is to revisit and encourage the churches. But as they get set to go, all of a sudden, there's this sharp disagreement between them. And when the Bible says here, sharp disagreement, this isn't like a casual difference of opinion. This is tense. Like, this is impassioned. There would be some definite kind of like, you know, real passionate desires one way against each other. I mean, it's a sharp disagreement. Now, remember this too. Paul and Barnabas, like, they're like this. They're tight. They've been on a missionary journey. They've seen all things stonings and trials and all these different forms of suffering. I mean, they are brothers in the Lord. For them to disagree and eventually separate, something big is happening here. So what is happening? Well, Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Now, you might remember, if we've been students of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13, though, Paul and Barnabas were with John Mark, but John Mark found the missionary journey too tough. And so John Mark couldn't take it. He returned back from Pamphylia and went back to Jerusalem. And that did not sit well with Paul. In fact, Paul was pretty upset about that. And 2 years later, Paul is a man again on a mission to get her done. Like he's rightly on a mission. Here he is trying to spread the gospel. And so this time to take this guy who deserted them, he's like, nah, I don't think so. But what's so interesting here is you have Barnabas. Now, Barnabas, did you know this? Barnabas was actually John Mark's cousin. We learned that from Colossians chapter 4. So there's a bit of family stuff going on here as well, which can always, you know, blood is thick and all of that. But we also know that Barnabas was called the son of encouragement. Yes, well done at home. Well done. The son of encouragement. I mean, Barnabas was a man of compassion and kindness. Barnabas is exuding Christian love and forgiveness. Barnabas is the man of second chances. In fact, it was Barnabas who was the first one to welcome Paul into the disciples when the rest of the disciples were terrified of Paul because he used to persecute the church. So this is Barnabas. This is the heart that he has. But then you have Paul. And Paul, on the other hand, he was a man again on a mission. Literally, he was on a mission trip. Like he was on a mission journey here with the gospel. And Paul is a man of prioritizing conviction, strong leadership, dependability and efficiency. And who can blame him? I mean, this is so right. Paul was let down once. Now he needs companions who are qualified, who are ready for the task at hand. He can't have guys who are going to wimp out on him. And by the way, like there's a reason we do interviews for mission trips, right? You got to find the right people who are able up to the task and qualified and gifted, have the right temperament, all of that. Well, Paul, in one sense, he's done his interview and he's like, that didn't go so great. And so he's like, no, I don't want to do this right now. So it's fascinating to me that as you look at the personality of Barnabas, or the personality of Paul, many of us right now, we're identifying with one or the other, right? Barnabas, a man of such obvious grace, and Paul, such a man of such obvious conviction and determination. Now, some of you at home right now, you're looking across the room and you're like, yeah, you are definitely a Barnabas. Oh, you're definitely a Paul, you know? And that's all good. We need both personalities in the church desperately and everything in between as well. I'm encouraged by that. I hope you're encouraged by that too. So the question becomes this though, is right now, well, who's right? Who's right? Is it Barnabas or is it Paul? Well, I'm going to take the easy way out and I'm going to say both are right and both are probably wrong in a sense as well. On the one hand, you have Barnabas, grace, kindness, forgiveness. And to that, we're like, yes, 100%, we need that. On the other hand, you have Paul, conviction, determination, qualifications for leadership. We're like, yes, 100%, we need that as well. So then we say, well, why is this story here in the book of Acts? What encouragement can we glean from this? But many of us are already encouraged as we've walked through this passage. Praise the Lord for that as well. You know what I love about this passage, how this is included right here is, it tells us, man, these guys are normal human beings, just like you and I. They have struggles. They even have disagreements. I love it. Aren't you encouraged by that? That it's not all rosy. It wasn't all perfect. As much as God was moving, you have, again, the Bible presenting real people, real problems, and with real sinful reactions at times. Here's what I think we learn from this passage here at the last part of Acts chapter 15. First of all, this, disagreements will occur within the church. Disagreements are bound to occur. They might occur over doctrinal reasons. They might occur over personalities, as we see a little bit here. They might occur over decisions that are made or not made. Now, these are all factors here. But secondly, we learn this. Listen, godliness within disagreement is everything. And you can argue both ways in this, but it's a sad story that Paul and Barnabas were separated because they were such good brothers. And we know that it ends well, but still, to see this, it is sad. But godliness within disagreement, again, is everything. Church, it is right at times for some people at some circumstances to move on. That's just what God does sometimes for a new journey, maybe a new beginning. But godliness in the midst of that is paramount. It's paramount. Now, don't you dare start reading Acts 15. And some of you who are maybe more prone to quarrel, you're like, yeah, now I can disagree and it's going to be okay. No, no, no. That's not what we're saying at all. Okay. Pastor Robbie did not say that. It is not. Quarreling is sinful. Absolutely. Okay. This is not an excuse to sin and start being divisive. Not at all. It's understanding, though, that disagreements will take place at times. But notice this as well. Reconciliation is beautiful. It's beautiful. What I love about, as the Bible tells us, Paul later on, as much as he was upset with John Mark, later on, he would have John Mark restored to him. Look at this verse here from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Take a look here. This is in Paul's last days, his final letter. He's writing to Timothy. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark. This is John Mark. Get Mark. Bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Isn't that awesome? That's a sign of reconciliation. Good job, TV. You're doing such a good job today. Thankful for that. So useful, again, to Paul in ministry. At the end of his days, you see the hearts coming together with Barnabas and John Mark and Paul as well. Lastly, let me say this about this observation within this instruction from disagreement. By God's providence, you had one missionary, you know, couplet that would actually multiply into two twosomes now. You would have Paul and Silas, and you would have Barnabas. And again here, Barnabas going with John Mark. And so you have a multiplied sense of mission through this one kind of unfortunate circumstance. And again, you have Paul and Barnabas, stressful times. They're on their second missionary journey, the gospel, and hostile. I mean, it's a very stressful time. Now, let me just pull it back to us a little bit. Here we are in stressful times. We are in times, again, great urgency and trying in very unique times. And there are many perspectives right now as we look across, many watching right now, many different perspectives, many different emotions, many different reactions. We need different people, again, in the church represented, different gifts, different personalities. We need these, but listen, let's not sin in the process and how we treat each other. I would say pray for the conviction of Paul and pray for the character of Barnabas as represented here within this text. Maybe listening right now, there's some tensions in families. Maybe there's some tensions in relationships or friendships or coworkers. Whatever there might be right now, differences in direction or decisions or timing, it's imperative. It's imperative that we operate in godliness and humility. Again, don't lose the conviction. Don't lose the character either. Strangely encouraged, loved ones, by the instruction we receive by Paul and Barnabas's disagreement. I'm encouraged and humbled by this, but let's keep moving here as we go through this text. Point number two is this. We must be intentional in our discipleship. So Paul and Silas, they head out on this world-changing journey, and it really is. We'll see that. Look now at chapter 16, verses 1-5. I'll probably read the first few verses here. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, meaning an unbeliever. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered for the observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increasing their numbers again daily. There's much we could say here, but I want to focus on this. I want to focus on the intentionality of Paul's discipleship here. Now consider, if you know your Bible, you know Timothy is prominent within the New Testament. This is where Paul meets Timothy for the first time. Timothy is probably an older teenager. Just for the older teenagers, the teenagers watching right now, I mean, place yourself in the text. This is you. This could be you in modern day right now. You could be the next Timothy. That is awesome. God is clearly at work in Timothy's life. And the Holy Spirit made it so clear and made sure that Paul knew it. I love the bluntness of verse 3. You see verse 3 there? Look at verse 3. Don't look at me. Look at verse 3. That even rhymes. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. Now, you got to imagine the implications of that statement. It's not like Paul's heading off to Disneyland for a couple of weeks. Paul's heading off to a world-changing missions trip that's going to involve such incredible trial and difficulty and persecution and life at risk every single day. And he wants to bring this young man with him. I mean, an incredibly challenging invitation. I mean, if you're Timothy, man, you better hope that you've been kind of working out a little bit and eating your Wheaties because you're going to be tested and you're going to be challenged. And yet God's hand was upon young Timothy. And God would ensure that Timothy would be discipled and Timothy would be used. I love what this text right here. I love Paul's sensitivity to God's Spirit working. I love his discernment to God's leading. Man, we need that. We need that so much. Notice his intentionality of pouring into others. What do we know who Timothy would become? Well, Timothy, of course, his name is on two letters in the New Testament. We also know that in six letters that Paul writes, Timothy's name is in the introduction or the salutation. We also know that Timothy was heroic in Ephesus during strife with Paul. We also know that Paul, in his last visit to Jerusalem, Timothy was with him. We know that Timothy was in prison with Paul as well. And we know that Paul considered Timothy to be a son or a comrade, a son in the gospel. That's everything Timothy would become. And this is their first meeting. That's a massive moment. Massive moment for Paul, for Timothy, for the church, and for us. It really is. So here's the question and the encouragement we give today. I want to boil this down. I want to apply it right now. Listen, the intentionality of discipleship for you, for me right now. Who are you intentionally discipling right now in your life? You know, some of you might say, well, we're in the midst of these crazy times. We're locked down. We're shut in. We're all this stuff. It's impossible to disciple. Really? Really? I suggest maybe it's the opposite. Instead of being the worst time, this could be the perfect time to use your time to intentionally disciple others in Jesus Christ through the means of technology that we have. We're on our phones all the time. We're texting like mad men and mad women all the time. We're social media like out of our heads, right? Can we use any of that for the intentional focus and discipleship to see men and women growing up in Jesus Christ? One of the greatest forms of encouragement ever will often be found in intentional forms of mentoring and discipleship. You know, as a church right now, we're being incredibly intentional of our discipleship and our desired encouragement to our people. We're working very hard with online curriculum, online equipping, and online encouragement. I hope you feel that. Take advantage of that. We're working very hard and prayerful about that as well. But the best move that you could make right now is you personally engaging in a discipleship relationship yourself. Our online groups are growing. Join one today. Our encouragement is increasing overall. Receive it today. There's so many creative ways that we can do this. But once again, listen. Once again, if every single Hope Bible Church family member decides to engage in some form of mentoring relationship, again, our entire church changes. We are not the same. It is growing. It is beautiful. It is awesome. It is strengthened. It is encouraged. It is encouraged. You must be in a spot in a relationship right now where you are placing courage into someone, giving hope to someone, receiving encouragement in a relationship. Again, I challenge you. I challenge you right now. Who's the Timothy in your life? Who's the Paul in your life? We got to have both. We got to have both. Again, I challenge you right now. You, I challenge me. All of us to be engaged in intentional discipleship at this time, right now, in this season before us, right here. Who are the young Timothys in our midst and how God could use them in the next generation? Wow. Every single one of us, how wonderful that will be. So we see intentionality of discipleship. And then point number three, we see this, we must long for supernatural direction. Yes, Lord. Supernatural direction. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Man, it's weird preaching to no one at the same time. I know you're listening. Love you so much. This is so good. All right. I can't wait till we get together again. It's going to be awesome. And Lord, sooner rather than later, please. Sooner rather than later. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. This is such a good text. As they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Wow. And when they had come up to Mysia and they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Amazing. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia. That was a good call. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, we probably don't realize at this point just how world-changing this paragraph was. We'll see that in a little bit. Paul thought he was going to retrace his first missionary steps in his first missionary journey, but no surprise, God had other plans. Isn't that so true in our lives? We often think we're doing one thing. I mean, we're living it right now, and God has a completely different set of plans that he unveils to us when we need to know it. So what I want us to look at right now is I want us to look at two maps on the screen for us right here, okay? So I'm hoping that you can see this, but this represents Paul's first and second missionary journeys, okay? And so what he's planning on doing is retracing his steps, but there's a huge difference here. As they tried to go back again where they were, they wanted to go south here, a little bit southeast, back to where they were. But this is where the Holy Spirit says, nope, you can't do that. I'm going to send you west. Then they want to go into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit's like, nope, you're not doing that either. And this is what causes them to take a left turn, a turn west, a turn to Europe, and they end up in Troas, where eventually they will see the call to Macedonia. Again, this is what just happened right here. This left turn west, and then this ongoing turn here, that is literally world-changing. There are few events that have changed the world more than this direction by the Holy Spirit right here, given to Paul and Silas as they go for the gospel and they extend themselves to Europe west and again to see these regions that are there. I want to show you one other map again that you see here. This is a map, ESV Study Bible. It's like a walking seminary. This is the growth of Christianity in the first and second century. It's just awesome. It's just a marvel to me. So the green here is the growth of Christianity in the first century. And then the shaded gray part is the growth of Christianity in the second century. Again, look at how fast, look at how awesome this is. Look at God's plan.
At Live in the Light, we believe that through the faithful and the passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they would be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.